This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to another hour of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Brandon Zinner with you. We are joined by Steve Strain, Rick, am I going to say this right? Rikoski. It's my Close. Second choice. Rick, nice to meet you. We've got Steve and Rick in. We've got a cool event coming up we want to tell you about, let these guys tell you about. Maybe you can be involved or help out. It's called the Swing for a Cure event, and this helps with the Alzheimer's Association. It's a charity game. The proceeds go to an event there. We'll get into all of that. I've known Steve a long time. We spent a lot of time in the same part of the world. This was a cool event when you told me about it, Steve. So, now, this is, you know, it's all fun and it's charity and everything, but I need to know that you guys are ready to kick a little tail. So it's Steve, your team, up against Rick's team, Brookdale Senior Living, Chisholm Place Senior Living. This sounds like a pretty cool event, Steve. Tell us about it.
Well, we are both memory care communities, meaning we house people who have dementia living with us, and we are competing memory care communities. But Rick and I are friends, and this idea came up back last November that we do this and do it for charity. And so the Alzheimer's Association would be a natural fit. Also, it's in conjunction with the Longest Day, which is not until June, but that's a major fundraiser for the Alzheimer's Association, the Longest Day campaign. But it's probably going to be too hot in June. So we picked this weekend. It's going to be Friday night at the Independent School. Employees where I work versus employees where Rick works, both memory care communities, again, for the Alzheimer's Association. We've already raised over $3,000. When people show up, admission is just $5 per person or $10 for the whole family. There'll be concessions there, plenty of ways for us to raise more money, including Rusty Eck is bringing out a brand new Ford Bronco, and people can buy a raffle ticket for a chance to win that Bronco. With the proceeds of ticket sales going to the Alzheimer's Association as well.
Rick, this is something that you guys put a lot of passion into. If people want to come out, if they want to support, you guys work with these individuals all the time. What is the funding here that you're raising help actually accomplish?
Well, the funding is definitely going to benefit the Longest Day, the Alzheimer's Association. So that's our main goal and objective, is to really benefit these folks that we see every day. So we are really looking forward to it. Coupled with the fact that Steve and I are very competitive in sports. I grew up with sports, and he watched us beat a competitor. Well, Brookdale Tallgrass, we played them in volleyball, and I invited him to come out. He watched that. So He witnessed that, and he thought he could take us on, so here we are. So it's going to be fun. We both love sports. We've got a lot of passion with the Alzheimer's Association and the Longest Day. I think it's going to be fun, and we'll see what happens.
This is going to be the Softball Swing for a Cure. How did this idea come up? What is the event going to look like? And talk about the competitive juices it's going to bring out of both of you guys.
Well, Rick mentioned that I came out and watched him do some team building with his coworkers playing volleyball, and it was his executive director, Jennifer Osborne, that said, Steve, we ought to play Chisholm Place in something sometime, and this was back in November, and I thought about it for a few minutes, and I said, what if we played softball next spring, and let's do it for the Alzheimer's Association, and she said, you're on. So starting in January, we started having some planning meetings. We included Shanna Smith from the Alzheimer's association in that and started getting some very basic, okay, how are we going to raise money? What's the game going to look like? And here we are, over $3,000 raised later. And the big night is almost here on Friday night. And yes, there's been a ton of trash talking going on. I think every time Rick and I get together, he brings a hefty bag because he knows how much trash we're going to be talking.
That's right.
You got to have it to make these events fun. Rick, are the staffs fully in on this? Are they embracing it the way they should be?
Yeah, exactly. They are. And we've been practicing, so has Steve's team. So we're having fun with it. There's some trash talk, but it's all in good fun. So we're having fun, and it's for a great cause. And we hope a lot of people come out and watch this because it's going to be fun. It's going to be entertaining. And, there is a overconfidence with Steve results usually in humble outcomes. So we'll go from there and see what happens. So
Wendy the Wind Surge mascot will be there. This is Friday, May 2nd, 6:30. Again, at the Independent School. Steve, before we let you go, we know people can buy raffle tickets there. I assume there are still plenty of tickets and they'll just walk up and buy. Is that the best way to do it?
Absolutely. $5 for a person to get in, $10 for a family. Then we'll have raffle tickets for prizes between innings. And then to enter the Ford Bronco drawing, it's just $10 per raffle ticket.
And then everything is there on site.
How can people get involved if they're not able to make it out to the event?
Yeah.
They can call 558-5775. 558-5775. We just need a little bit of information to get you a link, and they can make a donation that way.
Which is always a good cause. It's all for the longest day in the Alzheimer's Association. Steve and Rick work hand in hand with these individuals all the time over at Brookdale and Chisholm Place. We appreciate what you guys do on a day-to-day basis. And we appreciate hearing the outcome of the game because winning is important and we want to know who wins the friendly competition.
Hey, we will have an after game party at Side Pockets, by the way. They're a big donor of this, and we'll have a post game party there. Rick doesn't know this. I've actually already arranged for grief counselors for his team because of how devastating this will be. Come console Rick and his teammates because this is going to linger with them for quite a while, I'm afraid.
That's right. Booing and hissing is welcome. It is encouraged by me. I don't know if you guys want it, but I'd love for a bunch of people to get out there and, argue with umpires and boo. Make it fun. Steve, Rick, we appreciate it. Good luck this weekend. Friday at the Independent School. Get out there. It supports a great cause, and you can have some fun with these guys and all the players and maybe win a car while you're out there. Steve, Rick, thanks for being here with us on Sports Daily this morning.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. There they go. Check it out. Get out there. Love that. That's a fun event. That's a fun event. Charity softball. You ever a beer league softball player, Brandon?
Oh, yes, I was. I have a good one. So my first job out in Hayes, Kansas, I was able to play in a softball league. And it was my first time doing it. And was wearing shorts, and I said, "Oh yeah, like I'm going to slide into third base. It's not going to hurt at all. It's going to be great." And I wasn't able to wear pants for the next 3 weeks because my entire leg was scabbed. But I'm as competitive as it comes to adult softball.
I played a ton of beer league softball when I was younger. I can't imagine doing it now. Wouldn't be able to walk for a week. I remember we played a co-ed team with my now wife at one point. It was like a work team. It was fun. One of the probably, I was playing like three nights a week. I was one of those guys.
Oh yeah,
for a while because it was so much fun. And she's on first, and I think I'm either in the dugout yelling or maybe I was coaching first. And somebody hits the ball, and she's just like in my mind not hustling down to second. And I mean, I'm screaming at her like, "What are you doing?" And she gets to second, and I see like her eyes glistening, and I'm like, "Oh no!" And I go like her quad exploded. It's just like,
I've played a lot of adult soccer growing up as well.
Can you still make it to third? Because the ball's not in. Can you go? Can you go? We got to score this run. The injuries now of beer league softball frightened me a little bit. But I did. I was a big beer league softball guy back in the day. Hey, if you want to win some HTO, let's do that right now. And then we'll get to some Royals and some other things on the agenda here today. But if you want to win HTO, more than 26 flavors, you can do it right now. All you got to do is text the keyword T to 20357. That's TEA to 20357. Blueberry Summerade is back, by the way. So if you're looking for a nice, refreshing summer flavor, that one is back in there. These will be available for you in East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. And again, all you got to do, text the keyword T to 20357, and that will get you a free iced tea from us here at Sports Daily. Real quick, Brandon, we got a couple more minutes. Finish up with the NFL draft, and then we'll talk Royals in the next segment. I mentioned what the Panthers did there. McMillan, my favorite pick. Did you have like a late round sleeper that you loved that you think will come in and have an immediate impact? There were a ton of KU players taken, a ton of K-State players taken. I don't think Giddens with the Colts or Devin Neal with the Saints are like day one impact, light it up guys, but could be long term. Anybody there late that you loved?
I think opposite of you. I think Devin Neal has an immediate impact ability.
Right in.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be competing with TCU's Kendre Miller, who was just drafted last year. He only played six games because of injury, and he just really doesn't do a whole lot. I think Devin Neal has a chance to get a lot of goal line work in substitute of Alvin Kamara, and he just fits New Orleans, I think, so well. I think Devin Neal to New Orleans is one heck of a pick and a great landing spot for him.
We really wanted him to end up in Kansas City. I think most people did because he does seem versatile. But New Orleans is a good spot. How about R.J. Harvey to Denver? You mentioned Amarian to the Chargers. R.J. Harvey could be an immediate impact guy for Denver too, man. Like that, I think the division in this draft got better. Jainty to the Raiders. You better be able to stop the run this year.
Oh yeah, I mean, but my favorite late one has to be Shadur to Cleveland. How can you not like?
I don't know how it could be anybody else. Exactly. Like as far as like pedigree to spot, because you know highest impact, of course. All right, when we come back, then we'll talk baseball. Dalbrock to Zenner on a Monday. Don't go away.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you for another hour on the program. Jacob Albrock, Brandon Zenner. And it is Monday following the NFL draft. If you missed anything of that conversation, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Let's talk Royals, Brandon. It was a really nice weekend. They got beat up by one of the best pitchers going right now in Hunter Brown yesterday. They took 2-3 against the Astros. You go through that just brutal stretch, including finishing up with a, you know, 6 out of 7 losses on the road. You know, what was it? And then like 9 out of 11 or whatever it was. It was just too many. But we talked about the stretch of baseball, which made this little homestand here pretty critical because especially with the Rockies and then into the Astros, who are starting to play a little bit better, you had to make up some ground in what you had lost with that bad road trip. Games in April matter just as much as the other games. But for me, it's more about Detroit and Cleveland look like they're for real. So as Kansas City sort of figures a few things out, you can't afford to get so far back at those teams while they are playing pretty well. And the Royals got right back where they needed to be. They're still a little ways behind Detroit, but one game under 500 feels a whole lot better than what was it? 8 games under .500 when they started that stretch. So breathe easy, Royals fans. There's a lot of good signs happening at the moment.
Yeah. And we do have to take like who everyone has played into consideration. The Royals haven't even got to play the White Sox yet, and I hate to chalk up automatic wins for any team, but that's gonna be a lot of games that are gonna benefit the Royals down the stretch as they play all these games. The Royals, what continues to carry them is their starting pitching. back-to-back shutouts on Friday and Saturday. They have this third most strikeouts by starters in all of baseball, one of the best starter ERAs in the league, the fourth at 3.34. Anytime any of these guys are taking the mound, Michael Lorenzen's probably looked like the shakiest out of the starters, but again, he's your fifth. No one has an ace going in the five hole. So, I mean, very encouraging signs over the last week versus where we were just over a week ago, where it seemed like the sky was falling in Kansas City.
Yeah, look, and they are going to be fine in the rotation, assuming health. They're going to get healthier in the bullpen, which has looked better. Estevez has looked good. Ursic continues to deal. Daniel Lynch continues to deal. It really all has been about that offense. Remember, they had the 17 games in a row where they weren't scoring more than four runs. Well, that's gone now. The big thing there initially is, what is Salvi going to do? What is Vinny Pasquantino going to do? Jonathan India has slowed way, 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 way down, which he's sort of coming back around. But the run production is going to be Vinny and Salvi. And so those guys both struggling out of the gates doesn't help. Salvi has certainly picked it up some. And I think Vinny, who's picked it up less, is hitting the ball hard. It's just he's been both unlucky and off to a slow start. And so I think he'll be okay. The big question early has been corner outfield. Well, Drew Waters has given them something. Mikel Garcia has been – it's been nice to see him getting time and run in the outfield so that his bat can be in there. But I think we're more encouraged right now about the offense than we have been. I think that's safe, right? That's fair.
I don't know. You talk about the streak is over. Well, now the streak is back to three consecutive games of four or fewer. It's still only four games the entire year, and they've played now 29. So,
yeah. I'm not saying they don't need to add more offense. I think you got to get Salvi and Vinny going. Is that going to solve everything? It's going to help for sure. It'll help. But I don't think there's any doubt that it is on April 28th already time to evaluate like what's out there for them. What could they go achieve? The most obvious is Jack Caglione. I mean, it is. And the biggest indicator that I think they are fast tracking him is seeing him play in the corner outfield. Brandon, of all the things that have happened this season, in totality of what we've seen, the fact that they hadn't put him out there in the minor leagues yet, to me, was one of the strangest things of all of it. Definitely. Because they don't have unless they trade Vinny Pasquantino, they do not have a place for him right now at first base. And so not only are they desperate for power hitting, which is what he does, not only is he capable of a fast track because he's a high level college player that played a lot of college baseball that typically doesn't need as much time in the minor leagues, right? Think Wyatt Langford for the Rangers, or what's his face that the A's just called up. Like these guys get called up quickly all the time. It never made sense to not put him in the clear spot. The Royals had an opening. Like he could come up if he's ready and he can play right field, he could come up tomorrow and be an upgrade. I think right? That's a jump. It's a bold move, but this isn't a guy who needs to spend time in AAA. You know what I mean? Like he needs to get to the big leagues as quick as he can because they need him desperately.
Yeah, you know a prospect's for real when MLB Pipeline, the Twitter account, is tweeting out video of him tracking down a routine fly ball in right field. Everyone knows that this guy is destined to be here probably sooner than later, especially just with the production that is coming from the outfield. Drew Waters has been a revelation. He has been great. He has a OPS of 801, which is that's going to be above average in the MLB. But outside of him, Kyle Isbell, you're going to get two good games in a row and then probably four or five clunkers. No, they only have, at this point, Drew Waters is the only outfielder that needs to be an everyday player. Jonathan India depends on, he needs to be an everyday player, but some infield, some outfield, it depends. But other than that, they don't have answers in the outfield right now. And Jack Caglione, how much longer are we talking? That's what I want to know. And I'm interested to hear from Jalen Thompson coming up later in the week. Because
well, and that's the thing. So Jalen, stuck to his guns on it. He was like, they're not moving him because they don't like they're going to take it slow. And I'm like, why are they going to take it slow? Like, they need him now. They've going to hit their threshold to get the extra year. Unless they're willing to make like a May trade, which you're not going to find a trading partner there. You got to move now that because the Tigers are good and the Guardians are good and you're going to fall too far behind. They can't. The Royals have a deficiency in the lineup right now. There's no question. And if MJ Melendez, who did not carry over his good stretch of the second half last year, Hunter Renfro, same thing. Like if that's not happening for those guys, you're going to have a big problem. I love Michael Massey and Isbell and some of these other guys. Those are role players. Those are not middle of the lineup. Like, but Michael Massey in your six hole is just not going to be good enough. It's not. And I think they have a bottom of the lineup you could be happy about. And I think they have a top of the lineup you can be happy about. But they have got to get some production out of those other spots. And they have enough versatility where they can mix it and match it. They play everybody everywhere. Is there a player on the team outside of Bobby Witt Jr. that plays one position? Because I don't think there is. So that was always my question is like, maybe they want to take it slow, but what's holding you back from just letting Cags get some reps in the outfield? Because if he does ever come up, now you can mix and match that lineup even more. He's got to, before he comes up and commands a position, you better show us you can hit. Bobby Witt Jr. played third base his first year, right? Like these guys move around all the time. It never made sense to me that they were like, no, but he's going to be a first baseman. I'm like, what? Why? Like, let him try to play the outfield. Let's see what happens. I bet you he'd be pretty good at it. And he has been. And so now it's more about when is his bat ready? And I have not really dug in. I don't know if you have yet on some of the little things that we need to see out of guys in the minor leagues and everything. We all know he hits the ball hard. He hits the ball hard as hell. Like he crushes the ball.
Batting
we get that.
280 OPS of 854. Yep. I mean, he has four home runs on the year. 22
it's walks and strikeouts that I look at more than anything else. And he's still striking out quite a bit more than he's walking.
He's got
24 strikeouts in 100 plate appearances. And he's only walked 11 times. Mm-hmm. That's what we've got to watch. I think when you see fast tracking, like Wyatt Langford, another really, really good college player that got called up, his patience was impeccable, and that has helped him. But if you strike out a ton in Double A and you don't walk much and you come up to the big leagues, guess what's going to happen in the big leagues? You're going to strike out a ton and you're not going to walk much. So I think, you know, that's what we got to see. Like, you can't call him up and just let him strike out three times a game and hit a home run once a week. Like, that's not going to help this team. So if we're looking at some of the peripherals, I think you look at that as much as anything else with a guy trying to come up from Double A, which is what I'm sure everybody wants, him included, is can he walk enough? Can he develop the kind of plate discipline that it takes to be a good big league hitter? That's what I'm watching with him.
Yeah, and so he did play right field two games, twice in that series, so something to watch more. Will he get they'll start another series tomorrow. How many games does he get in right field versus first base? Because, again, we talked about the path is in the outfield. Vinny and Salvi are going to be playing first base every single day for this club. Can he limit the strikeouts? It is interesting just because he has 24 hits, 22 RBIs, which tells you almost every single time he's getting a hit, he is bringing in a run, and he's going to have runners on base in front of him more often than not if he does get to the big leagues. But can he limit those strikeouts? Because, yeah, I mean, 24% is not going to cut it in majors.
Well, they already strike out too much, right? Exactly. Like, Salvi's striking out too much at the moment. Vinny's striking out too much at the moment. Bobby Witt's always going to strike out a little bit, but he makes up for it in other ways. They've already got guys that are doing that at the big league level. That would be a problem. That's not going to help you if he just gets up there and hacks away. So he's got to at least show that he can do it. And that's hard. Like, they got to rely on scouts and stuff for that. That's a little hard to look at the box score to see, like, how's his plate discipline? Is he swinging at strikes in the zone or is he swinging at strikes out of the zone? Is he chasing? What's his chase rate? Like, a lot of that kind of stuff that unless you're watching him every day, which the Royals are, of course, but we're not, right? We're not watching Northwest Arkansas every day. Like, if he's not chasing and he's just swinging at good pitches, you probably live with that. It's more about, is he chasing bad pitches on these strikeouts? Because if he is, a big league pitcher will never give him a pitch to hit. Like, they'll just never throw him a strike if he's chasing out of the zone. So we'll see on that, right? We'll see. But he's the next option. Like, is his, I think when you talk about helping this offense, he is up first, sort of. I think they want to make a trade and they are willing and they will. I just don't know that it's like they're not going to find a trade partner at the moment. So if Cags is first up, and I think he is, how quickly can that come? Otherwise, this is sort of the lineup and the combination of players they're going to run out there until June at best. So another month of this, right, where they've got to have some guys figured out. I will also say that I think Salvi and or Vinny will pick it up here pretty quick. Salvi, we're starting to see the signs of it. Vinny, again, I think he might be hitting the ball. If one or both of those guys starts hitting, we'll probably be okay with this offense for a little while. Long term, they could use help, but in the short term, I think they'd have enough for a month to get there.
Yeah, interesting enough, the Royals actually only strike out the 23rd most in baseball, so they're actually one of the best teams in not striking out. But I mean, by every other offensive metric, they're not good. They are 25th in batting average, and then when you look at their team OPS, they are 29th. The only team worse than them in OPS, which is on base plus slugging, is the White Sox. So and they're only separated by 400. So yeah, not great.
They need power, and the guy sitting there with all the power in the world is finally playing a position that can come help you. So that was, you know, of all the wins and losses last week, big picture, that may be the most meaningful thing we saw last week was that Cags got a little time in the outfield. So let's look here at the week. They get the day off today, and then they're back at it tomorrow. They go on a little six-game road trip here, Tampa and Baltimore. Again, Baltimore is one of those teams you might like seeing them on the schedule now rather than later. They're not going to struggle all season. They are struggling. You hope that you catch the good end of it. Tampa is all of a sudden playing in a hitter's park, which has been a really strange development. Like Tampa, you know, they're off, but it's, you know, they had to switch stadiums or whatever. And I guess this is now a hitter's park that they play in. But that's their next six. That is their week. I talked about 11-5 over the 16-game stretch, Brandon, as sort of where they needed to be. We're not quite to the Minnesota portion of that yet, or the White Sox portion, I should say, of that yet, of that, to finish that up. But going, you know, 5-1 is a great way to start it. If the White Sox sit there and you hope at home you take at least three of those four, that gets you to 8. That means 500 here on this road trip gets you to where I thought they'd need to be at the end of the 16 games. And I think I'll stick to that. I mean, 500 on the road here, I'd be okay with.
Yeah, I think you'll take 3-3. You win one of these series, you take one and another. I think that's going to be okay. The great thing is that they have really good, I think, pitching matchups in all of these. They, especially when it comes to the series with Baltimore, they're going to go against Tomoyuki Sugano, but they're going to go opposite of that with Cole Reagans, and they're going to get Charlie Morton hasn't been great. Dean Kramer hasn't been any good for Baltimore as well. So they're going to have probably the pitching matchup, the advantage, and I imagine at least four of these games, if not five and maybe all six. So,
yeah, look, in Tampa has good pitchers. Again, they're kind of playing in a funny park this year. As they have to rebuild theirs. So Reagans has, I'm glad you brought him up. He's got a mild left groin strain. They have not put him on the IL. A groin strain typically is going to put you on the IL. So I don't know what's going on with that. I guess they can do it retroactive and they don't need to yet. So it doesn't really matter. But he hasn't gone on yet, which I guess is a good sign. But he's supposed to pitch on Tuesday, on Wednesday.
The Royals don't have a starter listed yet for Wednesday per ESPN, so that would be.
I feel like he's I feel like you got to put him on. So then even if they don't, whatever, if they put him on, who is that spot starter? Because Alec Marsh isn't quite ready yet. Do you just call who's their best AAA pitcher? They have a day off today, so maybe they can just reshuffle it and just skip it, basically skip his spot and keep everybody on regular rest. I guess that would be the easiest and simplest solution. And then if you do that, maybe you don't have to put him on the IL and just see how he responds. I don't remember how far after the fact they can go retroactive on an IL stint. Like if they just skip his start and then four or five more days from now, can they go 15-day IL retroactive to 10 days ago? I don't know, but it is interesting that he hasn't gone on yet.
Yeah, I think if they would decide to put him on the IL either today or tomorrow, I think they can go back to his last start and make it retroactively. But, I mean, yeah, I haven't seen anyone say that IL is the plan, so that's going to be something to watch for. Yeah, as far as what they do in his place, I mean, I don't want to see a bullpen game that Angel Zerpa is starting personally.
They should be able to skip, though, I would think. Like, even because they get possible today off. Brandon, let's talk a little Shocker basketball. Jarrett Valencia from Monmouth, who has ties to PJ Cousinard, is added over the weekend. The production at Monmouth, I don't think, is anything that is going to light it up, but it's a clear need for this team that he fills, positionally, size wise. They have a need here. He's got ties to your new assistant coach, so it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, Jared Valencia is 6'9", but he's not a 6'9" big. He's a 6'9" wing forward. He's probably going to, like, a little bit of a Corey Washington role is what he's going to fill. Yep. He's going to play great defense. He shoots the ball almost 50% from the field, almost 40% from three, but then he only averages 8 points and four rebounds in that territory. Now, he did have to cede a lot of production to Abdi Bashir, a guy that we've talked about a good amount now at K-State, because, I mean, that was one of the best scorers in the country. But I think he's going to come in and he's going to fill a clear need as far as a great athlete. He's going to play another great defensive guy. He was all-league defensive player with Monmouth, and a guy who was highly touted out of high school. He was recruited. He had K-State and UConn as his final teams that he was picking between, and then I think there was eligibility issues. He goes to Monmouth, has to sit out because of the eligibility issues. But it's a good get for Wichita State. This is the kind of player that Paul Mills wants to be bringing in, a type of player that I think is going to be loved by the Shocker faithful.
Why? Because of the defense. And you see a trend here now, which I think is a really smart thing for Paul Mills and this staff. Caron Boyd, great defensive player. SoCon Defensive Player of the Year, right? You got another all-league defender in Jarrett Valencia. Defense translates. So now it's, can they get enough offense to support it? Because they'll be a little, they've got two small guards right now that we project into the starting lineup. And then, of course, they bring in the Purdue big, who we don't really know what to expect. They didn't play a lot. You can see what they're trying to do. The Shockers are trying to lead by defense next year, and I think that's the right way to go. I happen to think that if you can get that done early and you can be really good at that, it's somewhat of a counter to the issues that can come up in the transfer portal. Like, if you can come in and out of the gates that you're going to be a really good defensive team, because look at what happened with Wichita State last year, right? They had some success in the non-con, but that when they went through their stretch where we were all scratching our heads, it's because they couldn't play any defense. And then all of a sudden they start to play defense, and then they become a pretty good team again. So now, like, we see this design, and it looks, at least to me, or maybe to us, I don't want to speak for you, that they are absolutely looking like they want to build through defense. Maybe some of these younger guys can step up and be spot offensive players, but from what we can see, and I don't know if Kendall, who you know more about than I do because you saw him more in person at Barton, and Kenyon Giles can provide that kind of offense, but if you can start that baseline with, we're going to be good defensively, I like that for Wichita State. I do.
Yeah, so, I mean, Giles, he's going to come in. He's going to be a sharpshooter. He should be probably the three-point guy that this team is going to lead on. And then Karan Boyd is going to give you more offense in the transition. Jared Valencia, I mean, you watch his game. He looks fluid on offense, so a lot of mid-range that he can make. But I think he has a lot of three-point potential. I think Kendall is going to do a lot of the ball handling and then the transition game as well. They're going to need to find another consistent shooter. That's what Wichita State lacked a lot last year. Along with the defense, it was settling for a lot of threes. They never got the production that they wanted from an A.J. McGinnis. And I this team does not need to be shooting 16 threes.
I don't know if you're going to find it. Yeah. Every team in the country is looking. Shooting is expensive. I don't know if they're going to find it. So if we can come to terms with that fact, with at the current moment of the program, that they're not going to go out P.J. Haggerty, right? It's not happening. They can't, you know, so if it's not, what do? Well, you be really good on defense. That's what you do. You play ugly. You play angry, for the proper term, here in the city of Wichita. And I think more than other off seasons, even, like, it seems like there is a clear effort to do that. Where does the offense come from? I don't know. They still have three roster spots, I believe.
I think it's what we're looking like.
So you've still got an opportunity, but again, like, I don't, it's not going to be that they go out and they get one of the top portal guys who's been highly successful offensively. They're going to have to swing at some other types of players, junior college players, whatever it is, and see if they can't find, and they have talented young players, right? Like, they've got pretty highly recruited young guys, and maybe with the right opportunity, one of them can step up into that offensive role and be bold enough to create offense the way Xavier Bell created offense, by being, you know, explosive to the basket and get to the free throw line. We'll see. But if you told me coming into this season you had to start me with a baseline of a bunch of dudes that came in from mid-majors that averaged 11 points a game or whatever, or guys that are proven to be the best defenders in their league, I'll take the latter. I think that's a better start for Wichita State. I do. And I think if, you know, for Paul Mills, who's kind of cut his teeth offensively, if he can get some of these guys to really buy in and do some of the things schematically, then you got a shot. I don't know where this fits in next year. I mean, I have no idea what the other teams in the league have done. I know Memphis has lost a bunch of really good players. That's all I know. I don't know what anybody else is doing. I think that's most people. So we don't even know where to start with. Like, could you imagine, Brandon, somebody saying, hey, I need you to predict the AAC this year?
Not till I see the final rosters at Media Day. I mean, we saw it with Memphis lost Tyreek Smith three games in the season. So, I mean, we don't know what these rosters are going to look like. I need to see it all on paper. Of note, when we're talking about Wichita State's young guys, they did lose Zion Pipkin last week, which I'm sure you guys did talk. And he was a former top 150 recruit with Cousinard.
That was a weird one. A weird one, by the way.
It is
weird. He had ties, I think, to Cousinard. I think Pipkin's like... connection to the program, right? Was Cousinard? It's probably an opportunity thing. I hope, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I really don't. But I am very happy with the design of what they're doing. I don't know the financials of it enough to tell you whether I think they should be getting more high profile players. I mean, anybody that does is guessing, because we don't know how those conversations are going. But as far as strategy, to bring in a bunch of dogs, I think that's exactly what Wichita State always needs to be doing.
What it is going to come down to is what we thought we were getting last year is the buy-in and the constant effort. Because there was times that we saw for the Shocker team this past season where the effort was just not there.
Not at the end of the year, but yes, when they had the gates, for sure.
When they had the struggles in January and early February, it was lack of effort, lack of execution, and it was just pure laziness. And it seems like that's what they're going to try to go after and say, guys that are proven defenders, guys that are proven team guys, and does it translate? That's what we're gonna have to wait to see in the end. But as far as what they're able to do, I think it's been a good portal cycle for Paul Mills. I really do.
Yeah, I do too, because we don't know, again, we don't know the finances of it, but I would agree. I'll give it a nod of approval so far. And it's so far, they still have three spots. You never know. You never know what's out there. Taylor Eldridge always puts it better, and he knows this stuff better than I do, certainly. They're winning some recruiting battles, basically. Like, they're winning battles for players. I think that's a good sign.
Valencia was also looking at Syracuse, so...
Yeah,
that tells you all you need to know.
When you're beating other teams directly for guys that you want, I think that's what you like to see. All right, let's talk. I'm going to give you a few minutes here with the NBA playoffs, Brandon. Like, I haven't watched a lick of them yet. What do we need to know? I know your Timberwolves look like they're in control of a series.
Yes, they are.
Anything? I know Damian Lillard's out, so that probably does the Bucks in.
That like was any, tough.
What is the big takeaway so far?
That was tough to watch for the Bucks. They ended up losing by 26 yesterday. Dame Lillard comes back. If you haven't followed the story, he was suffering from blood clots and had been on blood thinning medication, so he hadn't played in quite some time. And if I remember right, either Game 4, which they just had and the Bucks lose, or Game 3 was his first game back. So he comes back and. It's looking. I haven't followed up. I think it's going to be a ruptured Achilles. That's really tough. The Bucks are probably now done to the Pacers. Cleveland's been in control against the Heat. They're about to sweep that series. Last night the first game yesterday. Knicks Pistons absolute theater. The Pistons get a shot at the buzzer. Tim Hardaway was fouled, wasn't called, and then the NBA comes out and admits, which. The NBA admits, yeah, we missed a shot with 0.1 seconds left. Tim Hardaway goes to the free throw line. They're only down one, so he's getting three free throws. But the Knicks lead that one 3-1, but they are far from in control against the Pistons. I mean, the Pistons could absolutely come back and force that to a game 7. The Warriors have a chance to go up 3-1 tonight against the Rockets.
Yeah, Fred VanVleet's got to pick it up. I was going to ask tough. You, that's the big upset right now, but the Warriors have been hot, and it's the Warriors.
They were bad without Jimmy Butler, and since Jimmy Butler, they've been maybe the best team in the entire NBA. So not surprising to see. The Wolves were a blown 26-point lead with 10 minutes left against the Bucks in the final Tuesday of the season from being the 4 seed, ended up being the 6 seed, and now they're up 3-1 going back to L.A., which is going to be great late-night television Wednesday. But the Clippers-Nuggets series has been absolute theater. Watching Kawhi Leonard remind everybody of how freaking good he is. If he was healthy... He would have been a top five player of this generation. He hasn't been.
I mean,
but
he has been in the years that he's played.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a better, and there hasn't been a better two-way player in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is that dude. Like, he is, when you've got a case to make as the best defensive player, and we'll call it one of the best. He's never been the best offensive player, but like as two-way players go, yeah, I think people forget what Kawhi Leonard has been over his career. I think that's a great story.
But on any given night, he can be the best defensive player on the floor, and he can put 30 on your head and just absolute. I mean, he has Jokic and company looking like, I mean, just so frustrated. But that series is still tied 2-2. So, I mean.
Yeah, that's it. That's a good one. I will lock in. I'll make the commitment to lock in at least by conference championships. I really want to see if the Thunder and the Cavs are as good as their records and all of those things. I think the Warriors story is great, although, you know, I'd like to see Fred VanVleet and the Rockets get through. There's a lot there, and you're Timberwolves. I'm always rooting for Minnesota sports fans. You guys deserve one. I don't know if they're good enough to win a title, but maybe.
If the Wolves are playing at the Thunder in a conference championship series, best believe I'm getting down to Oklahoma City for at least one of those games.
Yeah, it's gonna be. Why don't we gotta all jump on board with Oklahoma City? They are seriously right down the road from us.
Yeah, only 2 hours away. The games are electric, but you're not getting me off the Wolves bandwagon. I'm sorry.
All right, that'll do it for us here on this Monday of Sports Daily. Brandon, thanks for hopping in for Tommy.
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff to talk about. We'll see what the Royals are able to do the rest of the week, and college portal never stops.
Tommy will be back tomorrow. Tonight on KFH, you've got the Brian Green Show at 6 o'clock, Wichita State Baseball, the Christy Breadbinner Show, 7 o'clock, talking Shocker softball. We appreciate everybody for tuning in. Thanks to Max for keeping us on the air here, and we will talk tomorrow.